Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
I think some of you may remember that beside the time that I was here in Coos, 2008 and 2009, I was here as pastor of Urban Kids. That was one of the greatest time of my life. I really enjoyed the time here. But actually, even during that time, I was really running the foundation, World Harvest Foundation in Thailand. So Pastor Derek allowed me to go back every 3 months to visit the work there. But if you go back a little bit more, you will remember that in the year, those of you have been in Coos for a long time, in January, I knew it was before Chinese New Year, in January 2004, I preached here, not because I was invited, but because my late husband, the Reverend Gerald Koo, had passed away in December 2003. But he was due to speak in January. So I spoke on his behalf. And that has been 12 years already. All right, Jerry has gone to glory for 12 years. And I want to stand here to share the great testimony of what God can do when we will let Him lead us. It wasn't easy because in my journey with God, because today I'm going to talk about walking with God. So often we just go through life without realizing that at every point in our life, we are actually walking with God. So I became a Christian at 14. Okay, I was from a very staunch Buddhist background, became a Christian at 14. The Lord called me to full-time ministry at 18. All right, went to Bible school. And I got married before I turned 23. And praise God for two beautiful children. Some of you may know my son Joshua, who used to be a youth pastor at the youth service here. And he's now in Chiang Mai with his wife Sharon and my two grandchildren serving the Lord in Chiang Mai. And my daughter Joy with her husband in Australia serving the Lord in Hillsong. And I'm just so blessed, all right. But they actually got married after Jerry passed away. And Jerry passed away when he was just 48 years old. And I was also 48 then, all right. And it was a point in my life where I didn't know what next. I still remember after Jerry's cremation, a lot of dear friends, pastors and all, stood with me at the car park of the Christ Church Bangkok, a church that we had pastored and pioneered for the last 12 years, a Thai congregation. We pastored a Thai congregation because the English church had been there for more than 90 years already at that time. And they asked me, Dorothy, what are you going to do next? And the Lord just reminded me at that time that He had actually given me a vision that I sail into the open sea all by myself. Jerry passed away in December, but I had this dream in October that I sail out into the open sea on a sailing boat all by myself. In fact, I remember telling Jerry the dream, and he said, was I in that boat? I said, somehow I didn't see you in that boat. All right. So I knew I had to sail out. And then the Lord spoke to me again in February, and the Lord said to me, Dorothy, take off your widow's garment and go into the harvest field. I understood then that the Lord was telling me to stop crying and go serve me. So that was what I did. And then in May, a prophetess from America, somebody from Singapore brought me, you know, we had this special meeting, you have to go. Because then I was really coming back and forth. I didn't know really where to go very much. And this prophetess said to me, Dorothy, God is going to give you a new life partner. And I said, no. I actually said, God, may this cup pass from me. All right, I thank God for 25 years of marriage, but I know that marriage is hard work. One of my greatest heartache in marriage has been like every time I want to serve God, God tells me something. Sorry, I love marriage now, okay? But every time God tells you something, because you're a married woman, right? You have to ask your husband. So I said, wow, God, Now I don't have a husband. My husband is in glory. So I just ask you, you tell me anything I can do. All right. So when I heard the prophecy that God's going to give me a new husband, I wasn't very happy about it. All right. I remember sharing with a friend and she said, pass to Mila the cup. All right. Yeah. I even had friends who say, how come God's so unfair? I give you two husbands, but some of us can't even find one. All right. You want to hear my adventure on how to find husband? Listen to the sermon I gave in the youth service. All right. If you do what I did, I guarantee you all of you will find a husband. All right. But anyway, God in His mercy led me to England, and I met, after Jerry's death, I met Mike. Many of you know Uncle Mike too. He was here in Coos, and he helped with the special need ministry and all. Okay, I met Mike, but I knew he was my husband. He was supposed to be my husband because I saw God's finger on his head. And God said, this man will be your husband. Okay. You want to hear the long story? Go and listen to the youth service. It's very long. All right. And the end of it was we got married. All right. We got married and the Lord had, we had been serving. And now we have been married more than 10 years. All right. When we were supposed to get married, it was very hard. All right. My husband, Jerry, had just died 1 year. And the Lord told me to remarry. Just now we sang the song, Lord of All, right? Would we let Jesus be Lord of all in our life? Would we just do what He would tell us to do? Years ago, I had this prophecy, Dorothy, you are called to be a Mary. And I always thought Mary means God wants me to pray and be an intercessor. Then Jesus said, no, not that Mary. That Mary who is the mother of Jesus. I said, okay, what does that mean? That means if you're a young girl and you are a virgin, you never slept with a guy and the Lord say, I'm going to give you a baby, that you're willing to take it and bear that baby amidst all the criticism. All right, it's not recorded in scripture, but you can you imagine a young virgin girl carrying a baby and telling all the neighbors, the Holy Spirit gave it to me, you know? And God said, I want you to be my Mary, where you will dare to not worry what man says, all right? But you will be my handmaiden. And whatever I tell you to do, you will do it. And today I believe there are many Marys here, okay? Whether you're a guy or a woman. But God wants us to arise. Whatever God has given to us within our spirit, that we will carry it. We will dare to birth the baby that God wants us to birth. And I'm just so glad to be here. I thank God for Church of Our Savior. Thank God for the many friends here, families and friends that had helped me through the years. And today I want to bring you to the KPI. I like the Force Awakens, you know. I believe there's going to be an awakening, all right, in our spirit as we learn to do the KPI this year, right? To know His Word, pursue kingdom values, and impact communities. Okay. Everything has to be very intentional. Okay. I realize sometimes in the midst of life, especially in Singapore, you just get pushed by everything that's going on. All right. But if you decide to accomplish what God wants you to do, you have to be very intentional about it. So knowing His Word. How many of you actually read your Bible every day? How many of you eat every day? You make sure you never miss a meal. Okay, like you miss one or two sometimes, but you eat, right? Why do we eat? Because we are hungry. Because it's important. If you are parents, you make sure your children eat. But how often do we make sure we feed our spirit? And it's no wonder sometimes, our spirit got no strength because we didn't eat. All right? We have to eat God's word. This is the bread of life. It is also the lamb unto our feet. But then, the other thing I want to read, to tell you, why is a paper Bible challenge? Okay, God spoke to me about in 24th December, you know, to raise a movement to read the paper Bible. I was like, it's a bit strange because I, for one, have not read the paper Bible for many years. All right. I love digital stuff. I said, I work with children. I work with you. I must follow them. Everything they learn how to do, I said, teach me. I want to do it too. You know, so I've been doing that. And then God said, read the paper Bible. So I started it without fully understanding. There's one thing I also learned in life. You don't have to understand. You just have to trust God and do it. Okay, so I started telling people, and then now I've raised, there are about 65 people who have joined the challenge. And then I found out research shows that if you read actual books, you store information in your long-term memory. But if you read plasma reading, digital, alright, you actually only store it in your short-term memory. For a while, I thought I was losing my memory. But like, hey, how come I can't recall those passages that I read from my digital Bible? Okay, so research has shown because the plasma reading is all in pixel, it actually is stored in a different place in your brain. Okay, so everyone, go look for a paper Bible. Okay, whether you join a challenge or not. But even if you don't want to have a paper Bible, please read your digital Bible. Some reading is better than no reading. All right? And, oh yes, I must say this. Recently, I listened to a doctor, an Indian doctor, who's on television in India and everything. He runs a special center to reverse ADHD. And he said this. It is a crime to put an iPad before a child before he turns 12 years old. He said, because children who are normal, born normal, if you give them that digital device every day, will become ADHD. And then we wonder why these days we have so many hyperactive kids. All right? You can go do more research on this, but we do not realize what we are doing to our children, right? So if you have children and you use the iPad or television, anything digital as a baby, as a babysitter, be very, very watchful over that, all right? Okay, that's actually not my sermon, but I thought that was a very important thing to say. All right, and the next thing is to pursue kingdom values. Okay, we talk about knowing His Word. But you know His Word, you must live His Word. As you read His Word, you will find God's values. And God's values are very different from our values. What do we value in life these days? What do we exchange our lives for? Everything has a cost. And you have to count the cost. Alright? And there are kingdom values that we cannot afford to lose. Okay? And when you want to pursue means an action. You don't say, I want to pursue, then you just walk, you know, I don't care. You pursue, you run after, you chase after. So, I want to suggest a passage of scripture that will help us in our kingdom values. It says, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11. This is from the Message Bible. It says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time, right, to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. And verses 8 to 11 says, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just to do what needs to be done. Okay, don't just do the bare necessities. But as one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. You know, you don't have to think very carefully. You want to give to people who are in need. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God, this most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away. So God gives to us to give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. When we give, when we bless, at the end of the day, the praises goes to God. And this is the kingdom basic I want to propose to us. I know there are many other values in our kingdom values that we must take on. But one thing is to understand that we are His ambassadors. We represent the Lord of the universe. I work in a foundation. I work with poor people. And people always ask me, why you don't give out tracts? Firstly, because I'm not registered as a religious group. But secondly, I tell my staff, we are the tracts. We will live. We will show the character of God to the people around us. All right? We are His ambassadors. And God gives to us so that we can give to others. So the whole principle here is us giving to others. So often in life, what do we worry about? Who's going to give to me? How is God going to bless me? But God is basically saying, how are you going to bless others? All right? And one of our issue with kingdom value is the love of money. All right? The love of money is the root of all evil. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. Okay, money is not the root of evil. It is the love of money. All right. And there's this verse in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 10:19, that says, men prepare a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry. And money is the answer to everything. Some people say, oh, that's not a scriptural principle. It is in the Bible. It says money is the answer to everything. We need our money to buy our breakfast. We need our money to pay our bills. We need money to send our children to school. We need money to go on holiday. We all need money. All right, so there's nothing wrong with money. And praise God for blessing us with money. But how we steward our money is very important. All right, so often that's why we have to check our hearts. So often we don't have to think very hard when you're planning for your holiday to Disneyland, for your family, for yourself, right? But then when we have to do something else, we think so hard. Yeah, help people. Hey, why don't they help themselves? Why I got to help them? All that stuff because it's our money. It's my money. All right. So, but then heart of it sometimes, it's not so much that they don't need the money. It's because I also love my money. Okay. So money can be a blessing or a curse. And I want to suggest to you that money is neutral. It can accomplish much for good or for evil. Money is not evil, but if you love it, you are in trouble. Okay? How many of you like to have a lot of money? Alright, I always tell God, God, if you have a position in heaven to be a treasurer, to manage your money, can I apply? Alright? So, I can learn how to steward your money, because if you look at the world around us, alright, I must say there are days I get pretty upset, where I see some people so rich, then I see some people so poor. Alright, I work with children and their families where sometimes all they eat is just rice, sticky rice with fish sauce. Because in Thailand they don't eat tau yua, they eat fish sauce. Okay. They like fish sauce. And because they don't have money. Alright? And they work so hard. And sometimes they steal to feed their children. They sell their daughters to send another kid to school or something like that, you know? Stuff like that, that breaks your heart. And the root of it all is the need for money. And if only we will understand this and be a bit more generous. So money is not evil, but if you love it, you're in trouble. Money takes on the character of the person who owns it. Money has no character, but money will take on your character, my character. If I have money and I am very generous, then that money takes on my character. But if I have money and I hoard it, that money also takes on my character. So don't serve money, but let money serve you. That's why God has given us much so that we will steward it for His kingdom. And the scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. It's a promise of God that if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And don't give. Sorry, I haven't gone with that. Don't give because you have to. Don't give when you don't want to. Don't grumble about giving. These are all symptoms of the love of money. And don't give 10% and give 90% for yourself. Don't do the minimum. Invest in God's kingdom. Break out of the poverty cycle. I know this year a lot of people talk about, you know, economic downturn and things like that. Do you know economic downturns are the best time to invest? I know people say best time to invest in gold, invest in land. But may I suggest to you, invest in God. All right. And you will see amazing returns. And it's not actually about money. It's all about God. About our most generous God that we have, how we can demonstrate our generous God's character to the rest of the world. And we demonstrate that by the talents that God has given us. Okay, talents here, meaning the money really that God has given you. Remember the parable where the servants are given different talents? And the one with the one talent, what did he do? He buried it, right? And after he buried it, later on when the master came back, what did the master say? At least you could have put your money in the bank and get some interest. So as far as I'm concerned, having your money in the bank is a little bit better than putting your money under the ground. But that's not the best form of stewardship. It dawned on me many years ago that many of us actually, what do we do? With all our money, it's one day I'm going to give you a lot of money. You join the queue right in the bank, and you wait, not even know how many, very long queue. Why? You put your money in the bank. When your money is in the bank, who uses your money? The bank. The bank invests in Korea, in China, in Japan, everywhere. You know, and the bank give you peanuts, interest. Yeah, you get it. But it's just your interest. So we all loan our money to the bank. All the Christians of the world, we all have bank accounts. Praise God. You know, we should be good people, you know, and save money. But you save for what? And then we say, oh, I save for rainy days. I save when I retire. Alright? But is that how? And do we save because we are fearful? We are fearful because that we will get poor. Nobody will take care of us when we grow old. But we say God will take care of us. Alright? So this whole paradox here, all right, even when my late husband and I were used to do church, it dawned on us that every week when we collect offerings, all right, everybody tithes to the Lord, 10%, praise God for tithers, and we should continue to tithe. And what happened on a Monday or a Tuesday? The secretary of the church bring all the money, go to the bank, and we put it in the bank. All right, so actually that's when we actually develop what we call the zero profit margin. Every year we make sure all the money that was given goes out. We don't try to save a big, big thing under the ground or above the ground in the bank. All right? Money in the bank is money lent to the bank. So I want to tell you, there's also another scripture that says, when you help the poor, you lend to the Lord. Okay? Will you lend your money to the Lord and collect your interest in heaven and your principal? And I believe 100-fold more. All right. You know the streets of heaven are made of gold? And then all of us now put all our money and invest in gold. And then you go to heaven, you get shocked. Ayo. They use it to make road. Streets of gold. And here on earth, what am I trying to do? Invest in gold. Then I bring some rocks to heaven to make the streets of heaven. That's what's happening. We will be so amazed when we go to heaven that all the stuff we thought was so precious has just become, you know, mortar to build roads, you know. Okay? So it's about our generous God. Let's learn, you know, to take on our God's character and be generous. And when people are touched by your generosity, they will believe there's a generous God. There's a God who loves them. You know, when I work in the foundation and all that Jesus tells me to do is every day just go love the people. Love them, love them, love them. Till they one day wake up and wonder why they love Jesus. That's all we need to do, people. All right. And I want to share with you a slide now of group of people from Church of Our Savior and also other churches as well that through the years have come alongside me and helped me. They visit me. Actually, in Thailand, some of them have gone as young as 1 year old, and now they are in primary school. Some of them went at 11, and now they are 18. All right, it's a youth challenge and World Harvest Training Camp. I believe that this camp is basically to encourage young people and families to lift up their destiny as the people of God. And this camp that we did this year was very special. We make it a digital detox camp. So everybody surrender your handphone at the door. Some of the youth went as long as 20 days without their handphone. They were really great, all right? And some of the parents also join in. I see this as more like training for mission, all right? Instead of just one day you decide to be a missionary, you know, you have to go through intensive course to be a missionary. This is actually baby steps. And we walk together as a family, all right? I was told by some people that it's very hard to find a program like this in all the world, right? Usually parents want to go on mission and you say, you cannot bring your babies, you cannot bring your children. For ours, we love having the families, okay? You will have lots of fun. Now, on impacting community, I want to share with you a scripture from Isaiah 58, verses 7 to 9. It says, to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. And when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break out, will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. This scripture says, tell us to share, to provide, to clothe other people, and not to turn away from our own flesh and blood. You know, the Lord has taught me through the years that the prostitute is my sister. The drug addict is my brother. Those people in pain are like my aunties, my uncles, my father and my mother. And what will I do? What will you do? If someone in your family is in prostitution because they don't have money to feed their children. I remember visiting this bar. I visit bars. I drink Coke, don't worry. And this lady told me, she said, I have no choice. I have to provide for my family. I have a sick mother, you know, and if I work as what other people go and work, I get 5,000 baht, which is about maybe $200, you know. But if I work in this bar, I get minimum 30,000 baht. So what's my choice? And I said, what's your educational level? And she said, oh, my education is primary six, you know, and I can't do anything else. Okay, it's for the reason too that we've decided to change our direction and really focus on education to help the people. But God is speaking to us as a people, that we need to respond to the needs of the people around us. We need to do something, right? Very often we just go, why can't God never help me? But God is telling us, you start helping people. And your light will come forth, your healing will come. I will answer you. And you know, sometimes we pray against darkness. We pray against our problems. We're so sad. You know, the world is turning so black, so dark. And God's word to me is, Dorothy, just turn on the light. Be the light. Don't shout at darkness. Just be the light. If each one of us will be the light wherever we go, you know. And don't become like this ostrich in this picture here, right? Don't ignore the cries around you. Okay, don't like be like some of the kids on the MRT. I come to Singapore not very often, but I see it happen. You know, in the reserve seat, they will close their eyes and pretend to sleep. All right, because they don't want to see the needs. If I don't see it, then I don't have to respond. All right? But can you imagine, whether you're sitting on a seat or you're eating on some other seats, if you are a Christian and you see a need around you, someone who needs a seat more than you, you know, and if you will stand and respond. If all the Christians in Singapore will give up their seats to someone who needs it more than them, we can impact societies. We can change a culture. All right? We don't need all these posters to tell us to give out our seats, to be gracious and all that. Let's be the light. Turn on the light. And so often, I know that a lot of people want to do it, but you're too embarrassed to do it. You don't know how to do it. All right? But whatever the Lord drop into your spirit, do it. All right? Don't pray about it. Do it. All right? And you will see things happen around you. Okay, I'm not saying don't pray, all right? But there are things that right there and then, the Spirit of God tell you to do something. If you don't take that moment, you miss the Kairos moment of God. So you can make a difference. And I want to share with you World Harvest Foundation that the Lord had laid on my heart. And actually how it all began was that after I told you I left the ministry that Jerry and I had built for 12 years. And at that point, to be honest, it was very hard, all right? I knew God wanted me to leave, but it was very hard. And I remember the day I left, I walked out the gates of Christ Church. And I was weeping because I know God wants me to leave, but where do I go? What do I do? All right? And God said to me, Dorothy, the things I'm going to show you ahead, the glory I'm going to show you ahead, all right, will be much far greater than what you have left behind. Of course, then I couldn't see it. All right? I moved out. I moved house. I moved office. I moved everything and went to stay in another place and leaving behind the group of people I have loved, I have built, we have discipled for 12 years. And it was then that I began to seek God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And in April, means 2 months later, I had a telephone call that the slum that I used to work with had a fire. And the 800 household, they were all burned down. So I rushed down to the place. You know, Bangkok traffic jam took me quite a long time to get there. And when I was there, I saw all the residents of the place all out in the football field. Okay, the house was burned down. Everybody was crying and they didn't know how to respond. And as I watched, I stood there watching, I saw different religious groups. One group came with big frying pans, qualis, pots and pans. They were obviously already very well programmed. They had all the equipments. They cooked dinner for the 800 families. And he made an announcement, you don't have to belong to our religious faith, but you're most welcome for a meal. And in the queue form. There was another group that had people taking records of all the people by household, you know, how many children you have, and so that they can prepare packages to help to the needs of the families. And I looked around and I did not see any Christian presence. I was so heartbroken. I stood there and I said, God, what can I do? But at that time I had no team. I didn't know what to do. So I remember I called this pastor. Jerry, before he passed away, was the chairman of the Blessed Thailand Prayer Network. And because of his passing, another pastor took over. So I called him and I said, is it okay if I would you allow me to use the Blessed Thailand Prayer Network and raise funds so that I can help the families of the fire? And he said, sure. So I stood there with another friend and I called all the churches, because actually in all the years I have been helping to coordinate the network, I knew a lot of people. So I called them and in 2 hours, I managed to raise 200,000 baht. 200,000 baht by Singapore standards, it's not very much, about $8,000, but it meant a lot at that time. And so, but it's just pledges, still no money. So I went to different friends. You got money in the bank or not? You got money in the bank or not? Can lend first or not? So they say, can. So next morning, we rushed to it was a Saturday, you know, we had only one bank, you know, if some of you been to Bangkok, you know, the Chatu Chak, you know, had this bank that was open. We went there, drew all the money, put it into packed envelopes. And then we went back to the slum. And then we said, how to give, Okay, we need to have an organizing. We didn't have a program. So we noticed the interior ministry was giving out packages to all the families. So I went to see the people and said, is it okay if we put money as well to go along? And he said, oh, sure. You know, and he said, from who? I said, oh, from the Christians in Thailand. Wow, that was so nice. He was so happy and the families were blessed. And as a result of that, I had 2 months actually where I continued to work with the Ministry of Interior to help the children. Actually, I had about 100, more than 100 kids in that slum that I had worked with over 8 years. And, as a result, you know, how to help the children, because, you know, they got to go to school, they got to buy uniform, got to measure them, make sure they had their school bag. It was a very big job, all right? And then God allowed me to call volunteers from various churches, and we did all that. So the Ministry of Interior was so happy with me. They said, how come you don't have a foundation? Would you like to start a foundation? I said, yeah, that would be a great idea. They said, come, send in your application form, and we will approve it. Okay, so in September 21st, 2004, all right. Less than a year after Jerry's death, the Lord blessed me with a foundation. All right. It's actually quite difficult for a foreigner to start a foundation, in Thailand. So I praise God for that. And after that, as I told you, right, I went to England. I went to England in October and I met Mike. And it was then that we decided, okay, what shall we do? You get married. That's the part of it. So I say, sometimes very hard to get married. When you get married already, what happened is Mike has a burden to serve with the Navajo Indians in America. I have a burden for Thailand. All right. And so between the both of us, we say, how? And thank God for Mike. All right. He said, okay, Dorothy, I know you have started in Thailand already. So I'll go to Thailand for 3 years. And then we'll see what God says. All right. So during that 3 years. But then we said, okay, we will go. So we went. But where to start? Because it's true, my foundation office was in Bangkok. But we knew it was some other place. And a Singapore gentleman was so kind. He said, Dorothy, I'll help you. All right. We start a factory in Udon Thani, near the Laotian border. We go there. And then we start a factory. We help the poor. We provide jobs. You know, it was, so I said, okay, great idea. So we call our team. We make appointments. And we went in our car from Bangkok, we drove to Udon Thani. It took us about 12 hours. All right. And my team, as we were there, as we were on the way, my team asked me, Ajahn, they call me Ajahn. Ajahn means teacher. You know, Ajahn, how do you know for sure where God will lead us? I say, actually, sometimes you really don't have the right answer, all right? I said, actually, I'm not very sure too, but maybe like the Israelites, you know, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I'm sure God will show us. But one thing I know for sure. I know for sure we will not go to Khon Kaen. Because, Jerry and I had done a lot of ministry in Khon Kaen. We have friends there. You know, and you don't want to do things in the backyard of your friends. So I said, we won't go Khon Kaen. We'll go somewhere else. So when we came to Khon Kaen, I said, bypass Khon Kaen. We won't even go in. Go in, go to visit people, you know, waste time. So we said, okay, let's bypass Khon Kaen. And as we were bypassing Khon Kaen, we had a puncture. Alright. I was like, I never had a puncture before in my life, you know. And then we had to change tire, everything. And after we changed tire, we had to go wash our hands and all that. And then one of my staff said, hey, Ajahn, look, in the sky, isn't that a pillar of cloud? I was like, yeah, looks like a pillar of cloud. You know, we just had a puncture, like there was a fire, and now we had a cloud. I was like, yeah, you know, didn't know how to respond. I just said, ha, ha, ha. And then we went on. We arrived in Udon Thani, and then we had a phone call from this friend in Singapore. He said, hey, Dorothy, so sorry, oh. I got an emergency in my factory in China. I cannot come. Ah. And we look at each other. We drove 12 hours. Now this guy cannot turn up. And one thing I've learned, all right, don't depend on people to do things for you. Things that you don't know how to do. So we learned from that lesson. We cannot do factory. We don't know how to do factory. And Mike said, okay, I am a teacher. I know how to teach. I say, I know how to work with children. Okay, let's go and do something in that direction. But then where to do? Ah, is it Udon Thani? Don't know. So that night, I really went on my knees. I said, God, please show me, God. Can you make it so clear? You know, some of our complaints about dreams, sometimes very hard to interpret, right? You know, we're sure or not sure. So give me a dream that is so clear that I will make any mistakes. Okay, and that night, I had a dream with a yellow banner with the word, Khon Kaen. That was it. So clear. All right. So next morning, we got up and I tell our team, okay, let's all drive back to Khon Kaen. All right. And so up to today, when the children ask us, how come you came to Konkan? I would say, it's because God loves you all so much. God gave me a dream to come and help you all, right? And Konkan, actually, some of you may wonder, where is Konkan? Konkan is actually in the northeast of Thailand. Actually, in that map, somehow the star went into the center. It's actually more closer to Laos. We're actually 2 hours away from Laos. All right. And this is actually an unreached people group. Some of you may have heard of an unreached people group called Isan. This is Isan. All right. In Thai, they call it Isan. And it's northeast Thailand. This is the poorest region in Thailand. There are about 22 million of them. And like the rest of Thailand, they are less than 1% Christian. In fact, I think they have probably the fewest Christian in this area than any other part of Thailand. And so we went to Konkan. As we would settle in Konkan, actually initially we thought we would run an English language school to make money and then also do foundation work, help the poor. We went to the slum as well because in the past, from my experience in Christchurch, I did childcare, and whatever profit that I made from my childcare, I also did community service. All right, I call it like the Robin Hood concept. You know, rob the rich to help the poor. Okay, don't worry, I won't rob you today. Okay, so I thought we would do that. So Mike and I actually started a language school, and we tried to do language school. And at the same time, all our free time, we would go to the slums. You know, we tried to arrange our programs such that we can also do the slum work. But after 8 months, we were really kind of knocked out. We were burning our candles at both ends, and it wasn't working. So we decided actually to stop, close the language school, and gave everything to the foundation, and we can focus on the foundation up to today. And along the way too, we have a burden for Pattaya. Some of you may, how many have you been to Pattaya before? Right? It's a nice city, right? Nice sea, nice beach, everything. But the worst part about Pattaya is, if you think Geylang is bad, Pattaya is much worse, all right? There are about thousands of bars on every street in Pattaya. And, so we went there. We walked the streets, we talked to people, because our heart was really, especially for the children in Pattaya. So as we were there talking to people, I found out that almost every person I spoke to on the streets of Pattaya came from northeast Thailand. And like I told you the story of the prostitute in the bar and all, most of them is because there's no other option. All right, and I knew what, that's when I heard the Lord saying, Dorothy, go back and cut the supply line. Well, it sounds like a war term, all right? But I really, even up to today, I still imagine, God, that sounds like a big and tall order. But I believe that's our God. Okay, our God is a big God, and all things are possible when we believe. And so we went back. We decided to give up the idea of Pattaya. We have lots of friends in Pattaya and we still continue to work with them. And actually, if the people in Pattaya sometimes who need help, they come back. They want to come out of the sex trade. They actually connect with us. So we work along the railway slum of Konkan. Okay, the railway slum, the reason that they have squatters, you will see the railway and then on both sides, the railway is actually owned by the railway authority in Thailand. And on both sides are actually government land. So they are free land. And so they build their houses along. So the whole track along Thailand, you will see squatters all along the way we track. And these are the children that we work with. Most of their parents collect garbage for a living. Yeah, we call it the recycling business. These are playgrounds of our children, all right? And this is one of our kids. He came to us when he was very young. I still remember he the part about doing education in Thailand is not as easy as we think, really. This boy, I remember when he first came, he loved our place, all right? But the minute we have classes to teach anything, he will disappear. Why? Because we have children that actually have so much problem in the education, all right? We have kids that are P5. All right, and you ask them, how much is 3 times 3? And they don't know. We have kids that are in P5, P6, and they do not know their Thai alphabets. Okay? But somehow in the system, they can get promoted. Huh? And so that's when we came in and helped. And we have to be very creative in the way we help these kids. Thank God this kid is still with us. He's now 18 years old. And he's just finished his Form 6. In Thailand, they go by the more like the Malaysian system. He just finished his Form 6. I just heard 2 days ago, he signed up for a course where he will work 4 days in Starbucks and still go to school for 2 days. And eventually, he will graduate with a vocational diploma. All right. So there are ways that we can make impacts and change lives. And this is the kitchen of his house. Here is where he cooks his meals with his family. This is our foundation. It's a center that we started to help the children. So the children come to us. We are actually in front of our door. Across it is already the railway track. All right. So the kids come to us very easily. They come to us about 6 days a week, because we do tuition with them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And on Sunday, we have Disciple of Jesus. So most of the kids come to us 6 days a week. And so God has been very gracious and He has been helping us. And along the way, we bought a piece of land. This land is called Koh Tha Land. Okay. God spoke to me that we need to buy land. All right. And actually, I didn't do this in the last two services, but God told me, share your story so that other people can write their stories too. All right. When we knew that there was a piece of land to buy, the land cost the equivalent of something like 85,000 Singapore dollar. And it was the size of 2 football fields. And we wanted to buy the land so much. And of course, in most cases, what do you do when you want to buy land? Especially we run a foundation. Raise money, right? Okay, this is the part I didn't want to talk about. God said, tell your story so other people can write your stories. Mike and I sat down and we looked at this. And he said, 85,000 Singapore dollar. Do we have the money in our bank? Both of us at that stage, we do have 85,000 Singapore dollar in our bank. So we said, how can we raise funds to buy land? Well, we have money in the bank. And remember my principle about money in the bank, right? We loan our money to the bank. So now, God is telling us to buy land. Will we invest our money in God? And I thank God for Mike, right? He said, Dorothy, if we trust our whole future and our old age we feel happy, secure because of the money in our bank, then doesn't it make mockery of the fact that we say we trust God? And so, we decided, okay, take out our money, all right? So we didn't have the raise fund. We bought Koh Tha Land, okay? With God provided. God provided because He really gave us the money. All of us have money in the bank. But how many of us really would want to take it out? A lot of times it's because of our fear of poverty, our fear that God will not provide for us, okay? And it was much later, we also added on another piece of land, and that cost another 143,000, all right? That one, we raised fund. Okay, and we got it. It's actually more expensive and smaller because the property in Konkan has rocketed up. And then our dream for this piece of land is for it to be a healing place. This is a dream from the Lord. We are a very small team, but with a big dream from a big God. And at this point, I want to challenge all of us too in our life. All of us have dreams, but so often we get limited because we say, I cannot do it. It's true, I cannot do it. But with God, we can do it. We can break out and do what God has placed on our heart. All right. And then came another land. All right. I believe God has a purpose. And so another piece of land was up for sale and the price was about 260,000 Singapore dollar. As I put it on my slides, they're all fully paid for. And during a time that I raised the challenge to buy this piece of land, this is a story the Lord asked me to tell. I went to all my friends in Singapore. I had a meeting and I told them, you know, all I need is something like, this cost in Singapore can buy what? Can buy a car, 2 cars, 2-3 cars, 4 cars. Okay. But then I said, you know, all I need is for someone to sell their HDB flat. Or maybe half their HDB flat. You know? And we can buy the land. And this land actually is so big, it's like a 4 football fields. If you sell your little HDB flat, you can buy the land. That was my challenge. You know, when you try to raise funds, you give all kinds of impactful talks. And then as we were raising the funds, you see, the way I buy land, you know, nobody taught me this, but I actually would go to the owner and say, you know, I want to buy a land, but I'm a foundation, but I don't have money. Can you give me 6 months? In 6 months, I will pay for it. God will provide. Then usually they will say, sure lah, sure, you say can. Then I said, but in 6 months, I don't pay you, you can take back the land. But in this 6 months, would you allow me to use the land already? I can plant, I can do everything. They say, sure. All right. So anyway, when we were coming close to that, we were 1 month off. We were still had a shortage of money. All right. And the Lord reminded me, Dorothy, you said somebody could sell their flat. Don't you have a flat in Singapore? And yeah, I had. I remember a friend when I went to Thailand told me, Dorothy, don't you ever sell this flat, all right? Because we were in Thailand, we actually rented out our flat. And the flat was, the rental was what we lived on. So she said, don't you ever sell this flat, all right? Because this flat is your golden goose that lay your golden egg. So if you sell the goose, you will have no egg, all right? So I was like, okay, God, you want me to sell my golden goose? So my husband and I, we said, actually before I signed the contract for this land in 6 months, Mike and I already have a talk. He said, okay, in the event that we cannot raise this fund, are we willing to sell our flat? We have already said yes. So okay. So we sold our flat. All right. Wow, Singapore, you know, one small piece of, I think it was like 87 square meter or something like that. We sold our flat. So as well, we were able to invest in this land. And with, of course, HDB took back some of my money too. And with the other remainder, we actually bought a condo in Konkan. So don't worry, I'm not destitute, I'm not homeless, except that I don't have a home here, but I have a home in Thailand. All right? But I'm telling you my story to tell you that, you know, there's so many of us here, right? We have so many dreams, but so often, we dare not invest in the dreams that we have. But you see, belief, faith, or whatever value you take on, it has to be translated into action. I know as I think about it, I'm not going to live here forever. I'm already 60 years old. Praise the Lord if I live to 120, you know. But so what? I can't live here forever, all right? But so many of us live here and prepare and we invest as though we're going to live here forever. We are not going to live here forever. So let's plan out, you know, have an eternal mindset, have a heavenly mindset. And that's when we can bring heaven to earth, all right? From the way that God will instruct us. Okay, I'm not telling all of you to sell your flats, please. Okay, but basically, it's just whatever the Lord put in your spirit, do it and you will be blessed, all right? So we bought this land, and this land is along the irrigation canal of Thailand, and therefore, we have double harvest. We can plant round the year because of the irrigation canal. And it is also a land amongst the poor and rejected of society. And so this is another slum area. Actually, when we take on these two land, we have a whole length of slum areas to work with as well. So I've actually worked with those children. And those children are like families to me. They are like my children. But what has happened now is lately we heard of the news that China and Thailand has made an agreement to build a Pan-Asia railway network. And there will be a railway track from Singapore to Kunming. And as a result of that, our one track railroad will have to be removed. You know, like Singapore, they remove the railway, right? But this one, they're going to build a double track. So all the homes along railway track will all have to be evacuated. So our community will be scattered. All right. I feel very sad about it because these are my children and I don't know how to help them. And many of them will come to us and say, Ajahn, how? What do we do? And because I run this Inspire program, we are like almost like their father and mothers, all right? Every beginning of the term, we buy uniforms for them. We buy school uniforms, buy shoes. For those who really need it, we even give them pocket money every week to go to school. Because many of these kids do not want to go to school because they don't have the right uniforms. They don't have pocket money. They don't have money to take a bus to school. So, but now they'll be scattered. And I said, God, what do I do next? All right. We have a very creative God, all right. For the last 2 years, I've been having this picture of a bus. I was wondering, God, why do I need a bus? All right. And now I really want a bus, okay. And the last two services is, Dorothy, why don't you speak louder? Okay, I speak very loud now. I need a bus. I need all the help I can find to buy a bus. The reason for this is I believe that with a bus, I not only can help the children who will be scattered, I can help so much more people. And also through helping the children, I realized in the last few years that we've been doing, it's so hard to just help children. Because you tell the kid, you know, I want to help you, I want you to study. The parents say, no, I want you to go collect rubbish. Because the parents don't understand the value of education. All right. So when you want a children to come, their parents don't agree. It doesn't happen too. Or you tell the parents, you should not let your kid go and sleep with a man just to buy a handphone. You know, things like that. Because the values are different. So I was thinking, if I have a bus, I will go conduct parenting courses, you know, into the various villages, you know, and I'll help the parents. I can still work with the children, but I can change mindsets, can change values of community, all right, with a bus. I know Singapore has many buses, you know, but this bus is very important. We're going to transform inside. We can have, it can become a mobile classroom. And we can go places with the bus. So if the Lord speaks to you, you have money to lend to the Lord, please take your form very quickly. If God give you any numbers, don't change the numbers. Okay? Don't rationalize away. Write it down and lend to the Lord, all right? The heavenly bank is definitely a better place to deposit, all right? And but some of you say, hey, I don't know what this inspire thing. I would like to do land. I've never in my life ever planted something. Can I be a planter? All right. I have someone who actually said to me, yeah, Dorothy, plant some trees for me. All right. So if you want to be a planter, you can do that. For actually, the fund in your form, the ones that say planter means that all the money you donate will go towards land development. Okay, my dream is to build dormitories. I want to build dormitories so that some of these children can actually stay with us. All right, they can stay with us because what's happening here sometimes, the older kids, when we try to help them, we teach them, we tell them all the good things, you know, wake up early and everything so that you can be employable. They go home, their family have a drinking party. And then next day, they can't wake up. They're a zombie or they smoke. They do a lot of stuff, all right? So we feel that if we could have dormitories, so we need to develop the land. So if the Lord convicts you and you want to really partner with us, all right? I'm not looking just for money. I need partners. I need people with skills and talents. I say, God, how can I do this? God say, I will send you the people. So if you are one of them, if God is speaking to you, okay, say, yes, I will go. Okay? It doesn't mean you all have to come and live in Konkan, all right? But I have already got quite a few responses from the other services. Say, yeah, actually, I'm retired. I can visit you anytime. I can go help you. Yeah, please come. All right. Visit our booth, Tak Ming. I don't know how many of you know Tak Ming, all right? Tak Ming has been my main champion, all right? Really helping me in the efforts in the past years. So Tak Ming will answer all your questions, and some of our kids and our youth and the ambassadors out there. More than 100 people, I believe, 130 odd people from KUS have visited through the years. So please come and do something with us, all right? Whether it's financial, whether it's manpower. If you have never even planted a seed, come and you will see the difference that you can make in people's life. So I want to thank you for giving to the Lord and for walking with us to impact communities in Konkan. So that's the time now to take out your form if you have not already written, all right? And write whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, your commitment to shine. Be a seed. I have learned, all right, in all the years, a seed that is planted will always grow. Some people say, wow, Dorothy, your work so big, huh? Actually, it's not big, you know. Actually, because I planted. If you have a seed and you put it in your pocket, it doesn't grow. But anything you plant will grow. All right? And this is how God will multiply amongst us. So I want to encourage all of you, be that seed. Just a few days ago, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said to me, Dorothy, this is the time, this is the hour. Because I went to Kingdom Invasion. Some of you may have been there. I went to Kingdom Invasion. And as I answered one of the altar calls for Thailand, actually it was a prayer for Thailand, I felt, I was just crying, all right? I was just weeping for the lost. So many people lost that. You know, we hear the parable that Jesus left the 99 to look for the one. In Thailand, we have to leave the one to look for the 99. And as I was just weeping there, and the Lord reminded me that years ago, Jerry and I, when we were in Christchurch, Christchurch has a memorial garden that they put the ashes of people who died. You know, it's like a grave memorial garden. And Jerry and I walked there, we had our prayer, and we said, God, we are willing to die for this nation. And Jerry even told me, Dorothy, this is my hole, huh? I booked my hole. And today, Jerry's ashes is in the memorial garden in Christchurch. And the Lord said to me, Dorothy, Jerry is dead, but you must live. And today I believe, even amongst us, there are many of us with dreams, with visions, with things that you think, oh, they've died. So it's the end of everything. It's not the end. God has new beginnings for all of us. If only we would arise and step out. Because without Christ, I can do nothing. But with Christ, I can do everything. I'll invite the worship team up and we sing our final song. My God is greater. And will we all rise and believe? Really believe for this year, 2016 and beyond, that God's going to use our life as never before. You're going to shine wherever Jesus has placed you.
Sing this song and we're going to declare that God is great. Amen.
What are you turning to wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you.
Yes, Lord, there's none like
into
you, Lord.
The darkness to shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. You. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger.
When I was here for service last week, the Lord said to me, there is so much potential in this church. Every one of us have that. Every one of us, we all have the potential to just burst forth. Because there's so much faith here. And I just want to encourage all of us today. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy anymore. Listen to God. Walk with God in this year, 2016. Make your decision to walk, and you will walk well. Father, I just want to pray your blessing on Church of Our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to this church. And I pray, O God, that this church will arise. They will arise in faith, in confidence of your provision, of your mercy. And because you are a wondrous God, God, nothing is impossible. I pray, Lord, for every person standing here, every family represented here, that not one of us, Lord, will lose our destiny, but God, we will walk and we will align our spirit with the spirit of the living God. That God, we will move forth for your kingdom's sake. Your people will arise. As your words say, O God, that all creation is longing for and groaning for the sons and daughters of God to arise. May we all, O God, be your sons and daughters that will arise for your kingdom's sake. Help us, Lord. Move us forward to make a difference. To make a difference. Help us move us forward to become that light that will shine in the darkest place. I pray your blessing. I pray your blessing, Lord, for every person standing here. God, thank you. Thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us. And help us, oh God, as Jesus has been willing to die for us, that we will live for you and for you and for you alone. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dorothy. Pray for Dorothy in the pastor services, but also we want to pray for her once again with all of you. And if you can, you know, she needs the bus before she goes back to Thailand. No, she's not going back by bus, but, you know, if you can, you know, she goes back on Wednesday. We do want to pray for her, but if you are one of those people who can help make that bus happen, you know, please do what you can. All right, let's just pray for her. Lord, we thank you for Dorothy, for having used her so mightily, Lord. When we look at her, you know, we could never imagine all the things that you have done through her. But Lord, you are going to do even more. And this bus really is just the first bus. Lord, who knows how much more you will do through her. But Lord, we pray you will supply her every need. As she has given her all to you, Lord, you will not fail her in any way or measure, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray, Lord, you surround her with people like ourselves who are able and help in different ways, big and small ways, to enable her to do what you've tasked her to do, Lord. We pray for Thailand. We pray for the children in Konkan and in different parts of Thailand, Lord. May your gospel light shine there. And shine there because of people like Dorothy and because of people who are willing to obey you. We bless her. We bless the work. We bless Mike and all that ministry they have at World Harvest Foundation. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Service is over. See you all back next week.